Well, good morning. How are we all doing? Ladies, did you get a lovely lion this morning? No, because the clocks went forward. It's as if that was planned. How did any of you get breakfast in bed? Well done. Claire did. However, on the back end of that, let me just move this back a bit because I feel really far forward. Okay, so on the back end of that, I was a good husband this morning. For the first time possibly in a long time, I was a good husband. I got up, I had a shave. Claire told me that I needed one because I looked like a scruff. See, so I do listen to my wife. I went down, I made her bacon and egg on toast. I thought, do you know what, we'll take it to bed. Took her upstairs for her, and Lucy went, Mum, can I have it? So the gesture was there, but the kids got there first. So I was thinking about this. I was like, the arrest is such a strange topic to talk about on Mother's Day. And then I realized it's called the arrest. And that's what a lot of parents want, is just arrest. So it was quite topical, really. That came to me at the back. I can't take anything for that. I've not prepped that at all. But that's what happened. Okay. So we're following on with this journey through Jerusalem. And Carl and everyone so far has done a fantastic work of bringing that message to us. So what I want to do is, I want to pray beforehand, just that whatever I say is completely from God, and then I want to get into the Word. Is that okay? Yeah. Lord God, I thank you that we're able to come and meet together. I thank you that we're able to come and worship you. Lord God, I thank you for your Word, Lord God, that guides us, that strengthens us. Lord God, and as we come onto this topic now, Lord God, talking about your arrest, I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to people, Lord God, through the words that have been shared. Lord, if there's anything of me, Lord God, I pray that you will empty that, Lord God, but your Word will speak into people's lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're picking up from Luke 22, verse 47 to 53. Okay, so I want to read it to you. It says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up to him, and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But then Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And then one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear, and he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come at me with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns. As we heard last week, Jesus prayed to his Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, but yet not my will be done, but yours. The weight of what was about to unfold was a heavy burden, and we read about this, where it said that Jesus sweat drops of blood falling to the ground. The arrest of Jesus is the beginning of what led to his crucifixion, a time that Jesus shows himself as his most vulnerable, his most scared, but yet fully trusting in the will of his Father. Do we fully trust God for everything? Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, knew that the only way that he could take this on the sins of the world was and defeat death was by spending time with his Father in prayer and obeying his commandments. Today we live in an instant generation, a generation where everybody needs something 5 minutes ago. We've got supermarkets that are open 24 hours a day. We've got people that have, well, myself included, I'm the world's worst for this, emails on my phone. Stupidly, I decided to subscribe to my work's email on my phone. Why I did that, I don't know, but I did. So we keep trying to chase our own tails, trying to keep up with the demands of life. But this is the reason why prayer and seeking the Lord is so important. It's in these times that we can sometimes allow ourselves to think and say things and do things that we wouldn't normally do if we weren't in such a rush or in such a hurry. Or maybe if we took a step back, we would realize that that's not what God wants and it's not right for us. In verse 47, we read that whilst Jesus was still talking to the disciples, a crowd came up. And it says, on the night he was betrayed, he was still teaching his disciples the importance of prayer. The previous verse says, keep on praying so you do not fall into temptation. So Jesus, knowing what is going to happen, is still there saying, do you know what? Prayer is important. It is what keeps us focused on God. But how are our prayer lives? Do sometimes we allow ourselves to fall into temptation before we've even stepped back and asked God for strength in situations? It's hard because, like I said, we live in a generation that wants everything here and now. I would like us to think, have we ever been betrayed by anyone close to us? If so, how did that make you feel? I'd like to share a little bit of a story, personal story. And I was working at one point for an organization, a youth organization called The Way Project. Fantastic project, Christian project. And we did outreach for so many people. We reached young people in schools, from the streets, in the parks. We went out, we held at Northfield with an event that they were doing. They set up a girl band called Remedy, which was interesting, because it was when girl bands were apparently popular. But everyone thought they were like the Spice Girls and had these random dance. I'm not gonna dance, I promise. I just wave my arms, okay? But they had all these, and this is what was going on. And at the time, the Way Project was attached to a different church where I was worshiping at. And I enjoy doing the technical stuff, the sound and the lighting. And I'd constantly ask the head of the technical team, can I join the rota, please? Can I join the rota, please? And every time I asked, I got a resounding no. So we let this go on, and it carried on. And then my time at the Way Project came to an end. Excuse me. My time came to an end. And then a couple of months later, the head of the technical team came over to me and said, would you like to join the team? I was like, yes, I would, because that's what I enjoy doing. And he said, I need to apologize to you for something. He said, I knew you could do what you've been asking to do. However, I was being told that every time when we went on a gig with the girl band or you were doing something where technical stuff was being used, if it got broke, it was your fault. And he didn't want me to be part of that technical team because he had this image of, this is Kev who breaks stuff. But what he came to a realization is after I'd left the Way Project, things were still happening, things were still getting broke. And unfortunately, the leader of the project at the time could no longer point the finger at me. And that hurt because I never knew that that was going on in the background. And this is someone I'd looked up to as my leader, my friend, my mentor for 5 years. And behind the scenes, I was getting the blame for things that I hadn't done. And he was getting away with things that he had done, scot-free. And that hurt. Because you've put a lot of trust, you've spent time together, you've built a relationship together. So I know what betrayal feels like. Nowhere near what Jesus's betrayal felt like. But I understand that it hurts. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. But betraying him with a kiss, that's what must broke Jesus' heart even more. To explain, in the culture of the first century Israel, a kiss was not always a romantic expression like it is now. A kiss on the cheek was a common greeting, a sign of deep respect, of honor, of brotherly love. For a student who had great respect for his teacher, a kiss was a healthy expression of honor and trust. In Romans 16:16, it says, greet each other with a holy kiss. In 1 Corinthians 16:20, it says, all of your brothers send their greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So when Jesus said, Judas, are you betraying me with a kiss? Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? That must have broke his heart. And to understand why he uses the term Son of Man, we must go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, in my vision at night, I looked out, and before me there was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached like the Ancient of Days. He was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every tongue and language worshipped him. His dominion is everlasting. It will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that cannot be destroyed. This is the Son of Man. Jesus was the Son of Man. And that is why he said, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas was betraying the person that had been given all authority of heaven, that had sovereign power over life and death, that people had come to and been healed, people that had seen everything in their lives changed, a kingdom that will not pass away, and yet such a sign of honor was used to signify this is the person that needs to be crucified. I cannot imagine how that felt for Jesus at that time. Judas's actions illustrate what was written in Proverbs 27, verse 6. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. The kiss was such a significant part of it. Often people can disguise themselves as our friends, and evil can often mask this to hide their true purpose. Has anyone ever had people that have come close to them, got close to them, but have only used them for a certain thing? Or have only used them and then pushed them to the wayside when they're no longer needed? In Psalm 55, verses 12 to 14, David wrote, if my enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising up against me, I could hide it. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God. We walk together amongst the worshippers. In that moment, we see, and Jesus relates to how David would have felt in the Old Testament when he was being betrayed, he was being used. Have you ever shared something personal with anybody, only to find that they've gone and told somebody when you didn't want that to get out? Or have you ever told anything to somebody and they've used that against you to try and push themselves that little bit ahead of the game? How did that make you feel? So in the midst of all that was going on in the garden, let's look at the other disciples. I believe they would have been shocked, betrayed, angry, upset, scared. All their human emotions would have come because this is someone they have walked with and prayed with and done fellowship with and seen people healed with for 3 years. And yet he walks alone to betray their master, their rabbi. If I'm being completely honest, I probably would have the same feelings. Actually, being completely honest, I like to think that I probably would have knocked Judas out before he got there. But clearly I'm not a fighter. My physique is not a fighter's punch. I've never actually punched anyone, and I think if I did, I'd cry. But in that moment, I think that's what would have welled up in me. You cannot do this. In the moment, the disciples do the only thing that they feel that they can do and that they want to do, and that is protect their rabbi, protect the person that they know is the Son of God. And this probably led to some little fight between the guards, the temple guards, and the disciples. Some of the disciples, like me, probably would have turned around and went, nope. And, well, I wouldn't have ran because I clearly don't run. I probably would have walked very quickly. Okay, but that they probably did. Some of them are thinking, you know what? If I get caught up in all of this, I could be on that cross next to Jesus because I'm associated with this man who they are after. The disciples' reaction was done in their human nature. We all know we all have that fight or flight mentality. Have we ever aggressively, and I mean verbally, try to defend God, where someone says something to us and it hurts us so much that we do our best, we stand our ground and we argue. And it's not until afterwards you take a step back and think, that probably wasn't the best way to deal with that situation. See, what's interesting about the disciples' reaction is a short time earlier, we can see that Jesus had already predicted his own death. And hindsight is a great thing. We can look at the disciples and go, why did you even worry? He sort of told you what was going to happen. Okay? He predicted his own death. But they didn't understand what he was saying. And they didn't recognize at that time either. Because Luke 18, verse 31 to 33 says, Jesus took the 12 to one side and he told them, we are going to go up into Jerusalem and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered unto the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. Now, like I said, hindsight's a great thing because I think if the disciples were to know this now, they would probably sit back and go, it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. However, at that time, human instinct kicked in. And for some unknown reason, in the middle of the commotion, one of the disciples asked, Rabbi, shall we draw our swords? Now, this is strange because I've never in the Gospels read anywhere else where the disciples are like, let's fight. Let's draw our swords and have a bit of a fight. It's never happened. So why in this one occasion did they think that this was a good idea? What was it apart from I need to protect this man of God? What was it that made them want to draw swords and go into battle? As the passage said, one of the disciples then did draw his sword and he struck the guards that had come to arrest him and he cut off his right ear. But what did Jesus do? He didn't go, yes, well done. He said, whoa, stop. Put your sword down. It's going to be okay. He told him to put the sword down. Then he bent down and picked up the ear and healed the guard. He came and healed the person who had come to arrest him, the person who was taking Jesus to the point where he knew his death was imminent. It's this act of gentleness that Jesus wants to teach us what it is to actually love our enemies and do unto others as we would have them do unto ourselves. I want to say, no matter where we are today, if you're a Christian that is completely on fire, or if you're a non-believer, if you're somebody that's struggling with the daily challenges of life, or for someone who life at this moment is going really well, if you're retired, if you're young, if you've got a nice, peaceful life, or if work is stressing you out, Jesus is interested in you. He's interested in all of us. And he wants to change your life. His desire is to heal us from the hurts and the pains of life, to deliver us from the things of the world, to heal us from the things that have been spoken over us for many, many years. He's here to help us in our unbelief. He's here to show us that he cares for us no matter what. Then Jesus said to the chief priest, it goes on in the passage, and the officers of the temple guards and the elders who came for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come to me with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Jesus is challenged to the chief priests and the guards in verses 52 to 53. Jesus was speaking both in the flesh and also in the spiritual realms, I believe in. Jesus would have known the plotting that was going on. It wouldn't have been a secret. He would have known what was going on behind the scenes. He would have known that the chief priests were wanting to capture him. And in challenging them on how and when they decided to arrest him, he was speaking to their flesh. He was saying, do you know what? I was stood next to you and you chose not to come for me. But when Jesus says, but this is your hour, when darkness reigns, he's speaking to them about how their actions are breaking the Jewish laws with regards to an arrest. As it was forbidden to arrest anybody, especially for the death sentence, at night. So let's look at this. The chief priests and guards were effectively acting in sin. Judas's betrayal of Jesus was done through sin. The cutting off of the guard's ear, although they thought they were doing right, was potentially done through sin. The unjustified arrest of Jesus was done through sin. They plotted. They had their own agenda. Now, Jesus wasn't just talking about the literal darkness, but also a spiritual darkness that was present at that time. Jesus knew he was about to be arrested. He knew he was about to be tried and beaten and crucified in order that he could conquer death and the sins of this world. He's talking, I feel, this is the hour where darkness reigns. This is where I am prepared to take on all the sin that is going on in this world at this moment and in future. It was not just because it was the middle of the night. And in doing this, by taking on the sins of the world, he allowed us to come here and to have this relationship with him. No matter where we are, as I said before, no matter how life is or anything, Jesus died for you. He went through this for you. This is the spiritual aspect of that comment. So there are wristbands that a lot of our younger people are wearing. A lot of younger Christians wore them. They came out quite a long time ago, but they still seem quite popular now. And it states WWJD. And it stands for What Would Jesus Do? Well, we know what Jesus would do. He turned to his father and said, Lord, forgive them. He healed the person that was there to cause pain. I think when we look at this, as we look at the arrest. We should change that wristband slightly to WDJD. What did Jesus do? So when we get in them positions where we're about to act without first going to God and saying, Lord, give me strength, then what did Jesus do? He loved his enemy. He died for us. He died for that person. My prayer for us today is that we examine ourselves and maybe ask God to forgive us of our sins. That we ask God to help us first turn to him in all aspects of our lives. And that, like the God, we allow God to come and meet with us and show himself to us in a new way. And that all our prayers start with, Lord, thy will be done. Amen.